Welcome to a random episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends come back from the grave. As always, I am your silent speaker, Zach.
Come back.
I am the second night owl, Steven.
And I am the man in the mask, Zach.
And Doomsday Clock came out.
Let it be known, I actually knew what the fuck Zach was going for. The
it's
intro.
Like, come back from
usually, I have to give you guys like a heads up, and by usually, I mean I do that maybe 25% of the time. I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going for.
25% is generous.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 5%, and then we pick up with it after you go with your I'm da 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 da.
What I should do is just give you guys the titles and join with me. Is
you should
the man in the mask, and then I point at you.
Might work better since you know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's kind of the fun part. It's just delicious. Like sitting here waiting for you guys to
gummy bears fighting back.
Oh god,
get in there.
No,
but anyways,
where they sent
you? Doomsday Clock came out, and a whole lot of nothing came out with it. Calm down, Hans Zimmer. So first thing that we have is the Brooklyn Nine-Nine star is still pushing for the role of America Chavez.
Yes.
I don't know who she is.
I forget her name.
I know who she plays, and I love Diaz.
Rosa Diaz.
And she is fantastic, but...
What's her name? Stephanie Beatrice. Beatrice. Yeah. Well, I mean, she had that photo of her dressed as America Chavez for Halloween, and then she posted another photo of her side-by-side with America Chavez, the number one cover. So like she really wants to be America Chavez, so maybe
it's just
they
like
should
let her. Tyrese Gibson really wants to be John Stewart,
or
how he wants a job.
But will Tyrese work for that paycheck because The Rock's involved in DC now?
God,
or the kid from
Ryan Potter,
Big Hero 6. Yeah,
who wants to be Robin?
But now he's Beast Boy, which is really cool. And what was really cool too is when Geoff Johns sat down to talk with him, he was like, yeah, it was great to talk to Ryan Potter about hashtag Titans. And then he also hashtagged it a Doom Patrol. I'm like, holy shit, are they actually going to refer to Beast Boy as being a past member of the Doom Patrol?
God.
Like, you know, OG superhero Doom Patrol, not like weird fucked up Grant Morrison, Gerard Way Doom Patrol.
Are we going to find our way to the Dan Balance being on TV?
I hope so. That would be my dream.
It's just going to be like Beast Boy's on screen. You just see an ambulance go by and Zach's going to...
Hey, Danny.
Zach's going to have the red strings. There is no Danbulance.
No, there is a Danbulance.
Danny the Street
it was
is
a brick all along.
Well, I love Danny the Street because sometimes he's such a complex character. He holds an entire universe inside of him. He's a god. He's a brick. And then on certain days, he feels really feminine. So on his street, he puts dress stores. But other days, he feels really masculine. So he puts like combat military stores. Like, it's such weird. A crazy character.
Sounds like Tumblr's Wet Dream.
Almost, but it's an ambulance. But no, we went into that, like, the whole, like, Danny's, like...
Oh, yeah, and we're still
British phrase.
Did you take acid like Max Landis suggested?
No. But you guys, maybe for Christmas I should get everyone a copy of Doom Patrol Volume 1.
Just give everybody that. First it was American Alien, and now it's this.
Well, you bought your own, finally.
Yeah, I'm the only one who doesn't read it.
Because I bought... When did I buy it?
It was
one of John's sales.
Yeah.
Free comic book day.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Buy two, get one free on
that's
trades.
Because
you got Sunstone
And speaking of new things,
like that.
Tom King has come out and said that he is creating his... own Batman villain, finally.
A new villain.
Yeah. So,
my God, his next arc is called Super Friends.
Yeah, it's the Batman-Superman team-up.
Wait. God, yes. Are we going to get the Wonder Twins?
Probably not.
And their pet monkey?
Probably not.
Well, my favorite... So, that arc's being done by Michael Yannon. And one of my favorite things is the... One of the covers is just Batman and Catwoman staring down Superman and Lois. And I'm like, oh, they're going on a double date. So his Super Friends arc starts on issue 36. And it won't be... But one fan notice. So in this comicbook.com article, He states, this new story arc begins on 36, but one fan notices in DC Comics' February 2018 solicitations that Part 4 of Super Friends won't be until Batman 40, which doesn't make sense. The fan asked King on Twitter if the story had been delayed, and King explained that he and DC inserted a single-issue standalone story into 38 in order to allow artist Joelle Jones, who drew the most recent Batman arc in Dream of Me, to draw issues of Super Friends involving Wonder Woman. So to make sure Joelle Jones could draw the Wonder Woman issues, we added one and done in 38. It's a Batman as Dark Detective issue and introduces my first original Bat villain, who will play a big role going forward, and I kind of love it. So it's really cool every time one of these writers breaks ground with a new character. Because we got Snyder, he introduced the Court of Owls, and they've been relevant since the dawn of 2011.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bloom.
Yeah. I wish Mr. Bloom, we would see him a little bit more. Maybe he might be in, like, Duke's story.
Maybe.
But then we also have Tynan, who's introduced the victims of Batman.
Victim Syndicate.
Yeah. And that's just so cool. So I love seeing writers actually make something new. Because either you hit or miss, and then the villain fades into obscurity, or we get an animated movie about them.
Right. Well, what works is when you create a new character, is it's literally, again, it's that first time anyone sees him, so they don't know what to expect from him. Like, that's what they imagine when they think of that villain the first time. Like, if you do a Joker story, you kind of have your preconceived idea of what you think the Joker should be. Mm-hmm. And when the writer does something different, you're like, I'm not sure.
It's one of the three Jokers. I knew it. Still waiting. Still waiting. Unless they turn, like, the Batman Who Laughs into one of those three Jokers.
Sweet God, no.
Nope, fourth Joker.
We don't need any more.
I sent you guys that Twitter thing. So someone asked Snyder on Twitter, it's like, hey, how come we didn't see Alfred in Batman Who Laughs? And they're like, no, we cut it because it was too dark.
It's like, if that got cut because it was too dark,
I don't want to know.
I'm terrified.
I don't want to know.
That is the shit nightmares
are made
of.
Please no.
Like,
we saw enough.
Out of all of that, you used the phrase, it was too dark. Shit, homie. You need to go get some therapy.
Snyder was in a very dark, deep, dark place.
But with Super Friends.
He didn't even write that. That was Tynan.
Oh, fuck.
Just imagine if at some point in the Super Friends title, you just see a hawk wielding an ice menorah.
God. Or a bucket of water.
And then that becomes Tom King's new 12-issue miniseries that's critically acclaimed by the New York Times.
Wonder Twins. No, Wonder Twins.
Yeah, Wonder Twins.
Oh, my God. They have a monkey.
What was the monkey's name? Chip just pops into my head, but I know that's wrong.
No, that's a squirrel. Dude, they have a Chip action figure.
Oh, my God. We were looking at the thing. It was like the Green Lantern accessory kit. Or it might have just been the DC accessory kit, and Chip was in it.
I'll look up the Super Friends.
I'm hyped. I know you like Tom King's Batman, but I know you prefer Snyder's.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm personally a huge fan of King's run.
Gleek.
Like, ever since you turned me on to Tom King's work, I've just been in love with the way he portrays characters and just the way he writes.
Yeah. See, I like Snyder's Batman because it's both the detective and action-based Batman, while King's is more introspective.
King's is more of, like, his effect on the world around him, which I find very interesting.
It's a human Batman, more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, every arc we've seen is, like, more of what Batman means to, or, like, his effect on these people and the city itself.
Well, I've had to come to terms with the fact that King's Batman is always a slow burn. Like, the first three issues are like, okay, we're building, and off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole I Am storyline. Like, those three arcs are best read in, like, a single sitting.
Yeah.
Like, waiting 2 weeks or a month between reading those issues.
We're blessed that we can at least get these issues in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey now. Blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed with the T.
Blessed.
Blessed.
Speaking of new things, though, Marvel, just for sake of continuity, Marvel has announced a new solo title featuring Weapon H.
Oh, God, this thing.
The Hulkverine.
They teased it a while ago. It's...
No, they didn't tease it. They teased its appearance in Weapon X, written by Greg Pak.
Right.
Because it was like, so the whole plot of Weapon...
You're fine now.
Okay. So the whole plot of Weapon X was like, let's grab all of Wolverine's old allies and friends, and then let's team them up together for this fun time adventure. And then they find Weapon H, Clay, an ex-military agent who's been bonded with adamantium and gamma radiation, became Hulk H, or Weapon H.
The Hulkverine.
Now, I understand.
Who wants this?
Here, let me explain. People saw it. Everyone said it was dumb, but speculators were all like, oh shit, the first appearance of Weapon H? Everyone bought that issue.
Motherfucker.
And then Marvel was like, oh, money. Weapon H solo series. How? Where I'm sure Greg Pak, again, this is the guy who's given us World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, all these really great Hulk titles. He knows what he's doing, but in a world where we already have Gwenpool, do we really need a Weapon H? Granted, I do like Gwenpool. She's very entertaining. I like her way more than Deadpool. Marvel, come at me.
Is there an over-under on how many issues it takes before it gets canceled?
Six.
Yeah, I would say six. It makes it through an arc.
So you're saying over six or under six?
At six.
At six?
Ooh.
I'm gonna take the over on it.
I'm gonna be bold and say under. I say it gets the three and they drop it.
See, the only title that's been canceled after three issues in the past year was like DC's Vigilante. It was like three issues canceled and then they released the rest as a trade.
Does Rocket Raccoon count?
No, because they were moving in a new direction. It was all new and all different. Marvel Now.
Marvel Now again.
Marvel Now at a shattered symbol because they're all divided after the events of the latest secret event. Shit.
Oh, there was a whole thing about one of the old Marvel editors talking shit about Secret Joe Empire. Quesada? Yeah. No, not Joe Quesada. Joe Schmidt, I think.
Jim Starlin?
No, not Jim Starlin. He was the editor for the original Civil War. He's just like, Captain America is a Nazi? Freaking Jack Kirby's rolling around in his grave right now.
There's a lot. There's a guy on Reddit I really enjoy following. He does parodies of all the big Marvel events, and he just started Secret Empire one. And he's
does he do
like,
videos?
No, he draws a comic and writes it. And then it's
I think he showed us this.
It's two people walking down an alley, and then the woman from the Hydra fever dream comes, and the male lead is like, step back! She's not black and white like the rest of us! She's wearing red! And then they get gunned down in the alley, Batman style. And I'm like, oh god, I can't wait. Give it to me.
I do still kind of cringe when I think back to when I tried to defend Secret Empire Cap. I tried so hard, and then I was like, well,
don't worry, they're gonna finish it.
No.
Did they ever explain it? Because is it still just two Steves running around?
So Steve-el is...
Which I did get to the part where they finally dub him as Steve-el.
Yeah. Like, so Steve-el is the physical embodiment from the assault on Pleasant Hill when Kobik boops him on the nose and turns him young again. Because Red Skull kind of like secretly brainwashed her when he was a priest because he still has Professor X's brain.
Right.
I fucking hate explaining comic books. Dear God, stupid. It sounds terrible. I was trying to do this to my coworker.
Well,
so
the Nazi's got the psychic's brain inside his brain, and then he went and brainwashed the embodiment of cosmic energy to then turn the old man back into a young man who was super strong.
Oh, gosh. With his super soldier syndrome. Serum, not syndrome. But
I've got super soldier syndrome.
Someone help.
At the end of Secret Empire, Kobik unleashes one last cosmic
boop. She couldn't leave it alone.
She couldn't leave it alone. She realized the evil she's done. And she brings back the... Okay, the best way to think about this is if you look at it from Plato's mimesis. It's a literary theory going on. Everything exists in three realms.
That's the one where they're staring at the screen, right? Am I thinking of this one?
No, that's the cave.
Oh, I'm thinking... Yeah, okay, never mind.
Okay, so everything exists in three realms. There's the spiritual realm, the cognitive realm, and the physical realm. Physical realm is what we exist in. The cognitive realm is basically our thoughts. And then the spiritual realm is the perfect being of this thing. So as it degrades each time, it becomes corrupted by the different movements. So makes there's sense. The perfect idea of a bed, and then someone thinks, oh, I'm going to make a bed. And then when they make the bed in the physical realm, it's not as good as the one in the cognitive.
It's like telethon.
Yes. So Kobik was like, oh, bro, I fucked up.
And don't worry, I got this.
She brings back a version of Steve Rogers from the cognitive realm that's the living embodiment of all that is good and holy, essentially.
Oh, God. So he's super Steve Rogers.
He's super Steve Jesus. Rogers. He's not super Jesus, but he's just Steve
Rogers.
He's the ultimate embodiment of Steve Rogers. So
the ultimate Steve Rogers, you could say.
Sievel. No, ultimate Steve Rogers is a racist asshole.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Do you think this A stands for France? We're not surrendering.
Steve was probably closer to ultimate Steve Rogers.
The true ultimate Steve Rogers, though.
Yeah. So Kobik manifests this spiritual / cognitive version of the holy Steve Rogers, and then that Steve Rogers beats the shit out of Steeble. So technically, good Steve that exists right now is only like a couple months old, whereas Steeble was Steve Rogers for all intents and purposes.
That's so fucked.
See, now
I'm overthinking it probably, but it makes perfect sense when you look at it through literary theory.
With that, I want to play the game of explain something to an alien.
They would probably understand my mises. They're like, oh yeah, we draw on those things all the time.
The greatest example I could think of is Joe Rogan talking about if aliens were to come down, how would you explain Kim Kardashian to them?
Oh God.
Because first, makes
the shape of her butt.
Nope. To explain why Kim Kardashian is famous, you'd first have to explain to them football.
Yes.
Because that would lead to O.J. Simpson, who would then lead to her father.
Right.
And that would lead to her having sex with Ray J and releasing sex tape. Meanwhile, you have to explain every single word because you assume the aliens don't have lawyers. They don't know what football is. They don't know what a sex tape is.
I can sidestep that entire thing by just saying Kanye. And the aliens are probably like, Jesus. Because like all classic aliens.
But see, that's not why she's famous. She's famous because she had sex with Ray J and put out a tape. She had sex with Ray J and put out a tape because her daddy made her famous because the Kardashian name became famous during the O.J. Simpson case. And O.J. Simpson only became famous because of football.
So you're perfectly honest.
All of that to aliens. Now explain Secret Empire to aliens.
So we have to understand Plato's mimesis, but first you have to understand who Plato is.
First you have to understand what a comic book is.
I would think aliens are far enough advanced.
Okay, you could probably explain like it's a story.
Or you could do the other way around. Explain it to a caveman.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Caveman would be harder.
Yeah, that would be harder. Right.
But in that same vein, because of Marvel's editorial, now we have... So I want to rewind really quick. So we have Steeble. We have Steve. Apparently, Ultimate Steve Rogers is still out there from Ultimate Squared. Apparently, the Ultimate Universe still exists, according to Spider-Man 2.
Oh, is it finally confirmed?
Did you read Spider-Man 2 issue 4? They mention it's like, my Barbara exists in another universe. Take me to her. And it's like, okay. Interesting. Now we have to wait another month for Spider-Man 2 issue 5. But, so we have Steeble, Ultimate Steve. Looking at the Iron Family, Tony Stark, Riri, Doom.
And Pepper to a degree.
Now it's a take out both Pepper, my hands for
Pepper
this.
Pepper Potts has
she has the rescue armor.
Yeah. Okay.
She hasn't really used it since Superior Iron Man, but we have Wolverine, Old Man Logan, X-23, Gabby, Sabretooth,
Weapon H,
Yoshiko, I think that's her name, right? Lady Deathstrike, technically. We have seven variations of the Wolverine family running around.
Two Hawkeyes.
This is why I like DC. It's like, yep, only one character can have the name at a time.
Three Spiders.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen. Spider-Woman.
Scarlet Spider.
Silk somewhere.
Scarlet
exists.
Spider number two, because Kane and Ben both use the same name.
Spider-Man 2099 still a thing?
Yes. Yeah. He's around. So Peter David. I think Peter David's still writing that title. We also have Spider-Ham. He shows up occasionally. Don't forget all of the other web warriors.
Carnage,
Venom.
Anti-Venom.
Well, it's U.S. Asian Anti-Venom now because Eddie Brock is supposed to have it. Well, no, I like the fact that, or not Eddie Brock, Flash is supposed to have the new Anti-Venom because Eddie Brock is staying as Venom. But then Lee, from the 6-issue Venom series before Eddie took over again, is now Toxin. This is why I hate explaining Marvel to people.
Now, what is a Spider-Man?
A man who got bit by a radioactive spider.
It's hard. Okay.
What's a radioactive?
It's Imagine Dragons, the band. Spider really liked them. But
I'm honestly trying to think, like, his DC is, like, weird and hard to understand right now as this. Like, so you have this other comic book from the 80s that's now, we're doing a sequel to it in the main universe where this giant blue cosmic guy, essentially, is now implanting memories into Superman's head.
Dude, Oz Effect was fucked. Like, oh my god, reading that. The end of it, it's like, I think Danny Elfman did a wonderful thing with Zack Snyder where they showed the World Without Hope montage at the beginning of Justice League, because that was the last page of Oz Effect. I'm like, oh my god. Superman can hear all these people. He has the ability to save people, but he can't save everyone, and he has to accept that. And now we're going to go take him and Booster Gold, and we're going to go do time travel shenanigans. Can't wait. Booster shot. Anyways, but the original point, Marvel editorial has... Now that Wolverine is back out in the universe.
The original Wolverine.
Yes. 616 Logan is out in the universe. And we talked about it with Infinity Gauntlet, how he has an Infinity Stone. Where has Wolverine been? Find out on the Marvel post-credit issues. Wolverine will be appearing in 4 Marvel main titles each week. And you can learn all the events leading up to... his return.
Now, is it the same 4 or is it a rotating 4?
I don't know.
If it's a rotating 4, Marvel can suck the biggest bag of dicks.
I have all the dicks. One of them, and I'm glad it's not a different story in all of them. Because it's like, oh man, Amazing Spider-Man. Oh, part 3, where is Logan? What they should have done.
Where in the world is Logan?
What they should have done is what they did with Pandora at the beginning of New 52. How she's in every number 1 issue in some random panel, and it's like, where in the world is Pandora? And then you have to find her.
It's kind of the same thing,
but it's a postscript. Like, don't even mention Logan's in the issue. Like, Spider-Man and Spider-Man are standing around. It's like, wow, you did a great job taking out those bad guys on the left. What do you mean? And then you just see claw marks in the wall, and then it's like, oh, look at you, reader, you figured it out. I would have preferred that, but now it's like, hey,
they're really trying to make the comics and movies line up with each other, like synergy. More and more.
Well, since
they just want you to buy all their titles, that's probably what they're going to do, a rotating 4, like 4 per week. It's like, all right, now buy these random 4. Now buy these random 4.
I mean,
do you think they're going to make a trade of the post-credit scenes?
Oh god.
I would
potentially.
No, it's not even going to be enough to make a trade even. It's going to make one issue. It's a one shot leading up to the 616 Logan solo title. I doubt it. I would hate it. But in that event, when I said this to you, both of you guys like facepalmed. Because I said it super sarcastically. But I think the thing that pissed me off more than anything is how they referred to it as post-credits.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you know those things that we throw at the end of our movies? We're doing that in the comics now. Because why not?
Fuck Marvel right now.
They don't know what's going on.
When Bruce Wayne came back in 2010, Grant Morrison was like, hey, everyone knows he's alive. Let's do this 6-issue miniseries with some crossover events called The Return of Bruce Wayne. And then let's just do that once a month. And everyone's like, yeah, okay. And then when he shows up in Batman and Robin Volume 2, I think, and it's like, Bruce, you're alive. It's like, yeah, I am. What are we dealing with? And Dick's like, well, I just got shot in the head, so you're going to have to do a lot of the work here.
I'm Batman.
Basically. But man, I can't even be excited by the fact he's back because of this.
Maybe they shouldn't have killed off so many fucking characters all at once.
The bigger middle finger would have been, where in the world is the Fantastic Four? And not be the post credit.
Reed Richards.
Still God.
Off being a dick somewhere.
Just being God.
I am a god.
No, see,
he created the ultimate universe, and it's like, I'm going to take a break.
What would be some good post-credit scenes would be explaining how the fuck Loki became the Sorcerer Supreme.
He doesn't even have his own solo title.
Besides winning a tournament.
And he sewed up Doctor Strange's red cape.
Ipso facto, Sorcerer Supreme.
But in Jason Aaron's run, it shows Loki with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, so, in the late, this is completely kind of off track, but the latest Ms. Marvel issue, it did another one of those "the end?" question mark. I'm getting very concerned that book might maybe ending.
G. Willow's like, I'm out.
I really hope not. He's like, no, don't do this.
DC signs G. Willow Wilson.
I mean, I'd be okay with it, but I love Ms. Marvel still.
I hate the fact that she hasn't gotten together with Miles, and it's never going to happen.
Nope, probably not.
Because they teased it for the longest time, but it's like, well, editorial didn't want it, so...
But hey, you know what we got in Champions issue 2? Vision. Everyone asked for Viv Vision and Amadeus Cho Mackin.
Did you hear the new thing that happened to Viv?
No, I'm a couple issues behind.
Do you want to know?
No, I want to read it.
Okay.
Well, now you just kind of tease it for the audience, too. So.
Is she going to relive all of her horrific memories from the Vision series?
No.
Just go ahead and throw it out there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go for
it. It's kind of a bombshell.
Go for it.
Viv Vision, human. Even more importantly, Viv Vision, not white. I'm not sure what happened. All I saw was a panel of it. And it's like,
what?
Viv Vision is now human. And then the caption underneath it was like, and she's not white. And it's her. She's like a dark tannish complexion. And then her hair is white, pink, and green. And then she's hugging her father. And it's like, you need to stay here. Oh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, God, I missed a lot of context by looking at this one panel.
I guess that's my reading assignment, is I need to read Champions.
Why?
I love Viv, though.
You don't need to do that to her. Week,
read Champions. Get caught up. Explain things.
That was part of the character where she was trying to figure out how to be human.
And then she became human.
She's only human.
Don't worry, Evan. And I like the fact that Tom King was like, yeah, I just kind of ended Vision there. If I ever wanted to come back to it, I could. And I'm like, what'd you do?
Hold my beer, fam.
Victors and Runaways.
Hold my universe.
Viv is over there in Champions. Vision's an Avenger right now, right?
Maybe.
Yes, he's still an Avenger for now.
Okay, man.
Until they're like, Avengers. Maybe.
Thanks to the High Evolutionary, shout out to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, apparently, Viv Vision is now human. But that's not the only change in our young champion. The way CBR titled the article, The Significance of Viv Vision's Newly Revealed Ethnicity. So it's part of the Avengers Champions Worlds Collide crossover. The High Evolutionary, who's all about experimenting on humans, animals, and anything else he can get his hands on. After all, his name has evolution in it. Unfortunately, Viv, we get to see what happens when a synthezoid is evolved to a higher form. The end result is a fundamental change for Viv and how fans will likely perceive her in the future. As the High Evolutionary explains, I have transmogrified your synthezoid body into flesh and blood. You are fully human. That's right. Viv is now a living, breathing human. However, there is another, even more significant outcome of her new transformation. Rather than being depicted as a white girl, as you might expect, why would we expect that? Given similar sci-fi and comic book twists in the past, Viv appears to be a woman of color.
Whoa!
See, mine... God, this is gonna kind of maybe...
Who wrote that statement?
...come off as...
Good Lord.
I don't know if it'll come off as race, but I always picture the Vision family as Asian. And no, it's not because they're robots.
I was gonna say, is it because of the sweater vest?
Yes.
That family, ever since the beginning of Tom King's run, it's like Vision's either wearing a suit or a sweater vest. And I'm like, God, these guys are dorks.
But they're not white dorks. Oh. Because Marvel's now about ethnicity.
She will now have to wrestle with everyday discriminations that come with being a minority. She was already a minority as well.
I was going to say, I guess it's like, well, you're going to be on a team of mostly, fully minorities. Well, might as well keep you a minority.
I don't like how this person wrote this article. One question we ask is, did the High Evolutionary intentionally make Viv a black or Latina character during his experimentation, or was this a natural result of his actions?
I'm sorry, do they think the High Evolutionary just had a vial of African-American? It's like, and just a splash of that.
Oh, sweet God.
Gee, like, seriously, was the High Evolutionary just like, well, it looks like she's going to come out white. Can't have that.
No, let's make some alterations.
So I wonder how this is going to affect her as a champion, because she's no longer a computer, and that was like her whole stint.
Yeah, what's her power then? Is she just a person? She's just really smart?
I'm a computer. Look, Randy. I don't know.
Well, I guess I'll just have to read, seeing as someone just took away my reading assignment.
Well, now you have to read to find out why. Well, Victor's mother is a Hispanic woman named Marianela Mancha. Jocasta, being of Greek origin, I really don't like this article. Look, I just don't like this article. As the one non-white member of this podcast.
I don't want to talk about it.
As the one who also agrees the Vision family could have been Asian because of the sweater vests.
I never equated what race they would be if they were human. That was never
on my mind. That was never a question on anyone's mind. No. And I guess that makes Cyclops the only white guy on the champions team now.
Is Sam still there?
Yes.
But Sam's Latino.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's why he uses phrases like mijo and...
Oh, I don't.
Segoy.
I don't agree.
Segoy.
Nani. He's probably a weeb, right?
Nani.
Just look at him. He Naruto flies.
Someone shows up. Nani. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Have you guys seen that Steve Harvey clip of him going, Nani?
No.
It's so great. Because it's been like making its way through like the meme videos.
So Viv is Latina. That makes 3 out of like the 6 members of the champions Latino.
Well, 2.5. Because Miles is half Latino.
Granted. Okay. Meanwhile, Amadeus rocking the Asians.
Sam is only half Latino, because isn't he also Native American?
Yeah.
So we got 2 parts of the champions. Well, maybe 2, if Viv is actually Hispanic instead of African American.
Well, Mark Wade recently just came back to Twitter, which is surprising. And he's getting attacked from all angles again, just because it's like people... He responds to it. Like, I feel really bad for the Marvel writers. Like, Dan Slott, at the very least, tries to teach people. It's like, hey, let's look at it this way. Hey, my political views does not affect Spider-Man. All I said is my political views have nothing to do with Spider-Man. If you notice a similarity, it's not intentional. Besides, Peter Parker's probably a giant, big old liberal anyways. And then it's like Mark Waid gets on there. He gets attacked for being too liberal. Ethan Van Shriver gets on there. He gets attacked for being too conservative. It's a whole mess. I feel so bad for anyone writing comics in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So quick side note on how Naruto has ruined me, because mentioned Naruto flying. But my parents and I watched the new Pirates of the Caribbean, and in there, the bad guy and his army are able to walk on water. So they just jump down and they're able to just run across water. And like in the back of my mind when they did, like, oh fuck, they ninjas.
Well, it's like me telling you guys, the kids at my school don't watch Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super or anything. They're like, yeah, we're all about Naruto. I'm like, okay, but the OG, like, they're like, yeah, but Naruto has all these obstacles and he's able to overcome them. I'm like, but that's all shonen anime.
It's like, that is literally the shonen anime formula.
Where do you think Naruto was based off of? The one guy that's able to transform into a beast who wears orange, who has the rival that's blue, is also able to transform into something monstrous? Weird.
Many of my hero that's just like defying all the laws of shonen.
Yeah, freaking Midoriya wears green. It's Midoriya. Like it's in his name.
It's like you're watching and he's like, oh, he's the hero. He's going to win. Oh,
he just got fucked.
Oh, shit. Ooh, he just got Naruto. My favorite tweet was like, what was middle school like for you? Naruto versus Sasuke, Linkin Park AMV.
Yeah, the first fight with them in the Valley of the End.
Yeah.
Like, nothing has explained middle school.
It was either Linkin Park or fucking Animal of I've Become. That's all every anime.
I missed 3 days, Grace.
That was literally the only song I've ever used.
And I love how when we were watching the death battle of Naruto versus Ichigo, and it shows the scene of them after they fight in the Valley of the End with the blood splatter. Like, look, they're holding hands. Like, no.
That's immediately what I thought when I saw that in the manga.
I love that we both, when we all watched that, we're just like, oh yeah, Ichigo's completely fucked. Yeah, there's like, no fucking way.
Look, Naruto's a god!
We have a guy who can move faster than the speed of light, who can summon a literal demon.
It's like when Ichigo used his full potential power, like, 2 minutes in, it's like, he's done. Like that, he's out.
That's it. Game over, man.
Naruto's a god.
Yeah.
I am a god.
It's like in the Sarada arc, he just gets blasted by all these like spikes. He's just on the ground with five spikes in him. It's like, yeah, I can't move. Ouch. And it's like...
Well, no, it was Sasuke's sword went through him, and then 5 minutes later, it's him standing there like, we ready to go, or... It's like, you just had a sword through... Oh, you're healed.
It's like, I've been way through... They're way worse. It's like,
Tom Taylor used the same joke twice. And he works in two different companies. So in Deadpool... He was writing Deadpool in All New Wolverine, if that's what the title's still called. I think it's Laura's title.
Yeah. I think it's still All New Wolverine.
Yeah. But like Deadpool is a prominent character because Gabby really likes him. And Gabby's all like, oh, you still have a sword in you. He's like, yeah, so what of it? Injustice 2 happens this last week, and it's the Amazons all charging in, and then when the Amazons are like, you still have an arrow in your shoulder, and she's like, yeah, what of it? And I'm like, great, you can use the same joke. Classic.
All
right.
It's not like people.
Let me tell you something I appreciate about the Hawkeye comic. All these team-ups they've been doing with Kate and Jessica Jones, Kate and Laura and Gabby, they've been great.
Yeah,
fucking love them. So
Kate Thompson's awesome.
She's Kelly Thompson. She's doing great.
A fun book. The last piece of news is not Marvel related, but Mark Miller returns to write Hit Girl. Curious thing is, the Miller World titles that were originally under Marvel, under the Icon imprint, like Kick-Ass and Hit Girl, are now under Image. So I wonder if... with the Netflix buyout of his properties, he was able to transfer the license of his titles.
Maybe.
Bendis even said that Jinx World might be moving over to DC, which also makes me curious.
Very weird. But
yeah, like Powers. Like, I wonder if it would go underneath like a Vertigo imprint or something.
Maybe.
But
who fucking knows?
So Team Vigilante Hit Girl is returning in a self-titled ongoing series with co-creator Mark Miller. Writing the first arc, illustrated by artist Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. And Kevin Smith will script the second series. So, like Kick-Ass, this is an ongoing monthly we're launching, and every big arc has a superstar creative team. I'm being followed by someone better by the name of Kevin Smith, and his idea is just so unique. Mine takes place in Colombia, his in LA, and every arc will be in a different country. Other creators lined up are Frank Quitely, Raphael Albuquerque, Pete Milligan, I'm excited for that one, Eduardo Risso, and Daniel Way. There's an Asian artist I'm in love with called Kim Jung-ji, and he's doing an arc. It's very high-end, and we're spending a lot of money in just hiring people I'm obsessed with. So it seems like he's like, I know people will buy this, so let's just spend.
To make the best thing possible.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciate about Miller. It's like he creates all these titles, immediately like kind of sells them off and licenses them, but... They pay the creator.
Mm-hmm.
They pay the creator with exclusive rights. Like, there was the whole thing with Chrononauts, where he's like, I really want to do this time travel story with Sean Gordon Murphy because he does all this cool architecture stuff. And he was pitching it to someone at Fox. It's like, okay, we'll buy it. It's like, no, I want to write the comic first, and then you can buy it. And it's like, but you'll get all the money if we just sell it now. It's like, I know. That's why I'm not selling it. I'm like, oh, look at you. Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he has a lot of criticism just because, like you said, he makes titles and then sells them immediately. But he always grabs talent that he he like views as like, these guys are really great. I'm gonna work with them because I know my name's high profile. So we're both high profile. We're gonna make something cool. Yeah. Granted, his writing style is a very acquired taste, I think.
Yeah.
Just because I'm Reborn, it's just like looking at Capullo's art, I'm just like expecting Snyder's voice. I'm just like, oh wait, no, this isn't even close to Snyder.
Hmm. And I think it's really cool that other people are now playing with the Miller characters, like Rob Williamson, I think, just got done doing a Kick-Ass arc, or not Kick-Ass. He did Kingsman for
Red Diamond.
Yeah, where he goes rescues the queen, and it's like the classic Spider-Man pose. Nice. I'm like, homages, homage. Shout out to you, Shimmer.7. All right, so the moment everyone's been waiting for, the Doomsday Clock came out after so much hype. And so what I found really cool, and you know, is the no duh news, but this is a direct sequel to Watchmen, taking place in 1992, the post Nixon era. And
good Lord, how about that Trump relationship? They get so many freaking writers at DC are just like bringing them in to the comics at this point.
Yeah. And so what's really cool, and what I really enjoyed it the most, it still feels like Watchmen. Like Watchmen's always been a political comic in a sense. And what was really interesting is just the whole facet of these new characters. We have a new Rorschach, and Jeff Johns, his statement was all along the lines of like, yeah, so when Watchmen 1 came out, you know, Alan Moore built this whole grandiose universe, and we have a second Night Owl, we have a second Silk Spectre, and then we have the old guard of characters, including all the people that, you know, died along the way. And now I wanted to play with those same concepts, and I made this new Rorschach because he's a very unique character, and dun-dun-dun, big news, the new Rorschach's black. And it was like, because everyone was bracing themselves. It's like, okay, it's either going to be OG Kovacs Rorschach, or it's going to be the second Night Owl guy, and none of the above. And then the new characters are super freaking
Mime
awesome.
And what was the other person's name?
Marionette.
That's right.
Mime.
It's like, what? There's nothing in there. Mime's putting guns in his pants.
Stop pointing your fake guns at me. It's the finger gun. But it's really cool because, again, Johns takes the spin. All of the old Watchmen characters are based on Charlton Comics, Blue Beetle, Question, all of those guys. And it seems like, all right, Marionette and Mime, they're based off of Punch and Jewel from DC. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking too.
And it's like, I'm really interested to see where this team of new Rorschach, Mime, and Marionette are going to do to essentially find God, you know, with...
They're on a mission to find God.
Yeah. We have Ozymandias, who now has brain cancer, and he's like...
Still has brain... I think they confirmed that wasn't that revealed, like, the end of the original comic, because he's denying...
No, I think it was Rorschach had cancer, didn't he?
No, it was...
Who got cancer?
It was...
Oh wait,
Tim's gonna be so mad at you guys. It was Ozymandias, or not Ozymandias. It was Dr. Manhattan's original wife or slash girlfriend at the time. She had cancer, but the cancer was given to her by Ozymandias as a way to kind of frame Manhattan as being dangerous and radioactive.
Huh.
Yes. Hopefully I got that right. Tim will tell me if I didn't.
Yeah.
Breaking news. My Hero Academia season 3 confirmed for April 2018.
Woo! They doing some dub?
Probably. I assume they will.
Spring dub.
We're going to get dub. It like spring.
Spring. Late spring. Okay.
But, so Steve and I were talking about Doomsday Clock, and I was kind of telling him, I'm like, I'm excited for this because it's Johns, and Johns is always known for his slow burn at the beginning. So just to have this 12-issue arc, this is the end of the DC universe as we know it, technically, because this takes place after Miracle, after Doomsday, or after Metal and everything. So I'm curious to see where all of our characters are on the other side.
Because the only thing they showed of the current universe is literally just Superman at the end. Everything else was just pure Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, how do we get from the Watchmen universe and that blends into the main DCU? Like, how does this work?
Yeah. See?
I just thought it was okay. I know everyone else thought it was great, but it was more of like a zero issue to me. Like, it could have
been. But this is what we want. We want people to stop saying zero issue.
Like, it I compare it more to like the Forager casting for Metal.
Right.
As it was just a lot of setup.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to deal with something as big as this.
But there wasn't.
There weren't enough moving parts for you.
Yeah, I would have liked not a payoff isn't the word I want because I know it's going to be later on, but I would have liked a little more connecting tissue than all of this Watchmen stuff and then two pages of Clark having a nightmare.
His first nightmare. Also, shout out to Lois. Think about it. You have the unstoppable Kryptonian who lives in a world full of cardboard. And his wife sleeps next to him every night. And I'm like, God, like, that would scare me.
That was a nice scene of her just like, calm down, you're floating.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, seen this shit before. Whatever. But yeah, I would have liked a little more connective tissue than setup.
Does this work better for you? Because John said this is a direct sequel to Watchmen, less so than a DC story being told right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Again, it's being hyped up as this big DC event, though.
Yeah.
And then now they're like, Watchmen sequel. It's like, okay, I got more hyped for the DC event than the Watchmen sequel.
Mm. That's fair.
And when it's 90% Watchmen, again, I know it's a big Watchmen is connecting to the DC universe. It was just a little too much for me who wasn't a big Watchmen fan. Okay. Like, Tim would be super excited about this because there's all this shit that's the aftermath of Watchmen that I never read and never really got into. The movie was great, but I never really got into the series. And when it's like, big DC event, shove your face with Watchmen stuff. And then
one of the big things, though, is like, you miss it's the jokey kind of like Akira adaption thing. Like, you miss so much just watching the Akira anime only than versus reading the manga. Like, there's a lot of connective tissue from the Watchmen graphic novel / trade that you should almost read in preparation. Like, if your background knowledge is only the comic,
I wish I knew that I needed to read it to get the full meat of it.
Mm-hmm. But the big question is, giant space telekinetic squid or giant blue explosions?
Blue explosions.
I'm confused.
So in the movie,
which one's more likely?
Yeah, so in the movie, they did giant blue explosions that resemble Dr. Manhattan's powers. In the comic, so Ozymandias essentially turns Manhattan into this, not necessarily a martyr for world unification, but like they're uniting the world against him, which makes a lot of sense when you watch the movie. In the comic, these giant blue alien telekinetic tentacle monsters come out from the ground and destroy like a ton of mankind, and that the world unites to fight the monsters instead.
I like blue explosions better.
I think blue explosions make more sense. Like,
you know, not to say I'm not excited for the rest of the event. I just think this one should have been something along the lines of the casting of the Forge.
That's fair.
Of like the
I think it'll make a lot
seconds,
more
seconds before Doomsday Clock.
I think it'll make more sense once we actually get into the meat of what's going on. Like, this is definitely like all right, we got a new Rorschach. We got these two new characters we got to bring in. Show them how they think a little bit.
It's them putting mayo on the bottom piece of the sandwich. Like, on they put that piece, that first piece of bread down. They're putting the mayo on. Now we're just waiting for the veggies and the meat before that top piece of bread comes on to finish it all.
You're describing like the Doom Patrol crossover in January,
the Milk Wars.
Sorry, I had to. But
it's always hard to judge.
Yeah,
an entire series off one issue.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, a lot of things, like, Hickman's Secret, or Secret Wars is best read in one sitting with all of the background knowledge of Hickman's Fantastic Four and Avengers. Like, with the first issue coming out, it's like you're either incredibly hyped for everything coming up, or you're in that same place where you are, where it's like, I need to see where this is going.
Yeah, I'm excited, but I'm also a little hesitant right now.
Mm-hmm. In Geoff Johns We Trust. That's actually,
yeah, that's kind of,
if you look closely in the Z of Z2 Podcast, our logo, it says that very tiny.
Yes. Johns has yet to do any wrong in our eyes.
Yeah. But speaking of which, everyone's freaking out about the identity of the new Rorschach. And so people are like, oh man, it's a clone of the original Rorschach, because we all know Ozzy's into cloning shit, especially when we see another cat thing.
Yeah. Is it a clone hybrid made by the High Evolutionary?
No.
Who's like, well, we got a clone of Rorschach. White, can't have that.
Dark skinned.
Well, I mean, it could be
toasted a little too long.
If it is a clone, then it could just be a very, it could just be to fool everyone. It's like, oh no, it's not a clone. It couldn't be. Why would it be? Why would he be?
This isn't a Marvel event.
It's a clone with just a black hand. It's like, how do we know you're not the real one? Black hand, glove.
So, other things, if you notice, like reading it, when he's at the diner eating the pancakes at the beginning, everyone in the diner is staring at him. So it's like, I'm imagining like the Spider-Man scenario where he just pulls up his mask a little bit and then he's eating. So what if he's like deformed or some stuff? So that leads me to two theories. First theory is that he's Bernie from the newsstand.
Boynie.
So Bernie, for those of you who don't remember, is the 14-year-old kid who is at the newsstand throughout the entirety of Watchmen. He's kind of like one of those, he's not necessarily like a Greek muse. Like, he and the owner of the newsstand are communicating to each other some of the background events. They're kind of like exposition devices. And this is where we also get Tales of the Black Freighter. But at the end of Watchmen, when we see the giant tentacle alien monster's explosion thing, we see the newsstand person grabs Bernie and then like slowly turns himself and has his back facing it, and then we see them both possibly disintegrate and die. Or he could have shielded himself, and then Bernie from the newsstand just totally gets disfigured and fucked up, and then he eventually finds Ozzy, or Ozzy finds him, and that's why this current Rorschach speaks in like super broken fragments. He's just suffering from major PTSD. The other theory that's being led around right now is that the current Rorschach is the son of the psychiatrist from the original story. So I found this theory on CBR just when I was researching for the podcast. So, if we look back at Watchmen, this is a direct quote. There are two characters of color who are immediately connected to Rorschach. The first is Dr. Malcolm Long, the prison psychiatrist who treated the deranged vigilante, and the second is Bernie, the cigarette-smoking kid who spent all his time witching copies of Marooned, a comic book in the story. Both are dead, according to the article, and according to issue 11. Well, Bernie gets destroyed in issue 11. But on page 18... of Doomsday Clock, Rorschach leads the freed marionette of mine to Night Owl's lair in the midst of the evacuation of Manhattan. A file folder falls out of the backseat of his car. This non-essentials possession comprises a stack of documents, including an ink blot like those used by Long when he administered a Rorschach test to the imprisoned Kovacs. Oh, now I'm having like Rorschach trench coats displayed on my phone as ads.
Nice.
Shout out. So the second is rather metafictional. The final inked ad promoting Doomsday Clock at the end of the issue shows Rorschach walking away from a burning building. This is perhaps a reference to his first murder as detailed in Watchmen 6. However, it's not the image that gives that away. Like all the other ads promoting the new series, the concluding image is accompanied by a quote from the original. It reads, "Go on and tell me what you really see," and is attributed to Malcolm Long. So these two clues point directly to Kovic's psychiatrist, and in Watchmen, issue 6, on page 8, on Malcolm Long's desk is a mug that says dad. So that's probably the biggest far-fetched theory. I mean, we've been led down.
That's some pretty solid evidence, though, to connect it.
But we've been led down so many rabbit holes. Like, look at Oz Effect. It's true. Everyone was like, it's Ozzy. It's Ozzy.
Nope.
Jor-El. The fuck?
I would love if they somehow have just a page or a panel of Jor-El as Mr. Oz meeting up with Ozymandias. Like, why does everyone think I'm you?
Or the fact that Ozymandias is like, I'm going to send you to the other universe. Or he's communicating with Manhattan or something. Because even then, on the cover of issue 3 is Joker putting on his lipstick, but it has Ozymandias' makeup company logo on it, which was the original symbol from Rebirth issue 1 and part of Geoff Johns' Superman run. Was that we had people working for this Mr. Oz the entire time. So I'm like, fucking shit, man. What's going on?
There's so many threads right now.
What's going on?
That I would have loved just a little connection of Mr. Oz to Ozymandias or Ozymandias to the DC universe right now.
But I think that makes it fun. It's like everyone's speculating, like, Barry Allen's what does penis it actually mean?
Speed Force.
I just would like a little tease of that. Of like we need to find God. I think I know where he is. I've been looking at this place. Done. That would have been.
Shows the map of the multiverse.
Yeah, it's like, thinking here.
It would be cool.
It's like, what do you guys know about the dark multiverse?
We're in it.
We are the dark multiverse.
It's like that fact we figured out we're not Earth Prime. We're probably like Earth 3.
Sad.
Oh, God.
We are no longer the Prime.
Anyone else on anything Doomsday? What if Doomsday shows up?
I'm very curious of what Mime and Marionette are supposed to provide.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, okay. Well, it's
more Marionette. Like, true, the whole reason he went into the prison was to get Marionette, but she wouldn't leave without
Mime. Right,
which
she expected.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm very curious of what is
her role?
What is her son? Like many what is Marionettes, son role?
She's a puppet. Or she does the puppeting.
Dance, water, dance.
I guess it's probably going to be what her son's probably going to be the most important aspect of this. Or he's probably somehow the connecting point. He is Dr. Manhattan. He's the connecting point.
He is Kal-El.
What if he's Pa Kent? Because there's that scene, too. It's like, oh man, what if it's just God's wishes? And then car accident. This is the first thing that we've seen of the Kent's death since the New 52 started.
What if their son became Darkseid? The first of the new gods.
Oh, jeez.
Hail, Darkseid.
And Manhattan's Orion. Like,
here's your son. Darkseid. Metal baby.
Well, if we all remember that Darkseid and the High Father are actually brothers, and they fought in a war together.
Or so Manhattan would hope you to believe.
Manhattan doesn't believe in hope.
Or
it's
their child. Cyclical. Their child was Joe Chill.
Oh my god.
It all connects. The Doomsday Clock, the gun,
the
Joe
Doomsday.
Chill, Marionette. All leads back to Batman.
Dun, dun, dun. Like all things in the DC universe.
That's the twist.
Batman.
They have the Superman logo and the Doomsday Clock. Batman. But what about Superman? No. Batman.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just generally excited. It teased enough for me to be kind of hyped up on everything.
Give me more questions. Then I'm like,
What about the question?
We kind of have him.
Kind of, sort of. Be cool if he shows up. Oh my god, the question in Rorschach.
Dude, that's my favorite theory ever.
No, not the theory. Just have them meeting. Show up in the same place and start questioning each other.
They're the same person. The Trinity of Sin. It all makes sense.
It's all been leading to
this. They got to bring that up at some point, right?
I hope so.
I feel like they built it up. They made it such a big deal in Rebirth of showing
Pandora dying.
Yeah.
But Judas Iscariot. He's the Phantom Stranger. The gold chain around his neck is all the silver, right? That's the Bible.
The coin, the penance he got.
Yeah.
For giving Jesus.
And every time he does a good deed, one of the coins falls off. Anyways, before we wrap up, I found this on Reddit. So someone who possibly leaked some information. So there are two big major changes from the Zack Snyder cut, the original cut that he had. One of the changes, I don't know how to hold my phone where I can see it and not talk away from the mic. In one of the post-credit scenes, Darkseid kills Steppenwolf after his failure and meets with Superman.
You know, the way we wanted it to be.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been after he goes up the boon tube, he booms back down in front of Darkseid. And they also explain the setup. So Steppenwolf was reviving the mother from the mother boxes to gain enough power to actually overthrow Darkseid. Was the plot. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense versus the cubes.
Yeah.
Well, and it makes a lot more sense if you just take out the one line for Darkseid.
Yeah.
Unless they're like, the mother, it's Queen of Goodness.
Well, no, it's like, I must gain all this power for Darkseid to overthrow Darkseid. Who knows? But it's also late and I'm like hopped up on some caffeine.
It would have been great if he just Darkseid was muttered once.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah.
When?
In the Russia scene.
When was Darkseid is mentioned?
No, not Darkseid is. He says for Darkseid.
Oh, no. Like the actual line Darkseid is, like that infamous
line. Steppenwolf also mentions that when he's in the Amazons, you'll all be this when
the unity is complete.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe he's talking about the anti-life equation. What if the joining of the mother boxes is the anti-life equation? Also would have made plenty of sense to me as a hardcore DC fan. But also, so Darkseid comes and kills the big bad on the spot, sets up how powerful he is if someone who can go three rounds with Superman is next to nothing compared to him. The other change was in one of the post-credit scenes, Bruce is awakened at his lake house by a green light, and he's met by Kilowog and Tomar Ray.
Kilowog.
Yeah. So, I mean, if these leaks from Snyder's original cut are actually true, and if there is ever going to be a Snyder director cut of the film, it makes it really interesting. But it's like, I can understand why they didn't go with it, because the sheer amount of information Snyder throws into his movies might be overwhelming to people. But I just want a really good DC film.
Like,
Wonder Woman reigns supreme. Really cohesive film. Never knew how much I wanted Wonder Woman with an accent until Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
The Darkseid scene would have been nice instead of the Deathstroke scene, but I see them wanting to put a lot of focus on emphasis on the Batman movie.
Right.
Of like, look, we're setting up the Batman movie.
Isn't it the next one that's supposed to come out?
Like no, 29? Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Wonder Woman 2.
And then Batman, supposedly, along with Flashpoint.
In theory, 2019 is like the year of the Bat family.
Oh, yeah.
At least according to Warner Brothers' have, like, plan.
Three of them?
Yeah, they want to do
Batman,
Gotham City Sirens.
And Batgirl?
I think Nightwing.
Like, for the ultimate nerd, the ultimate edition / director cuts are perfect for us. But I can understand 100-minute Whedon, a little less cohesive but more fun movie, how that responds well to an overall audience. But it's like,
I don't know. I felt like the Whedon scenes were just so weird and out of place.
That so one of the scenes that got changed, Bruce's conversation with Diana after Superman returns. Diana comes in, pops Bruce's shoulder, and tends to his injuries. Bruce reveals that he's willing to die to save the world. In fact, he says he deserves to die because of what he's done. He's killed people and nothing, not even his hate for Superman, can justify killing like that. Diana tells him he's changed now, but Bruce remains adamant that he can only atone himself by sacrificing his life. And I'm like, damn. I can see why they cut that out of the film.
But you know why he made that revelation? Because of Martha.
People pick the weirdest things to just make jokes out of the DC movie.
The scene makes so much sense.
Perfect sense. He realized he was about to do what was done to him as a child.
He's realized he's become what he set out to stop. And the trigger of Martha, they share the same mother's name. Ooh. That was the trigger he needed, because that was his father's dying words.
Yeah. So it's really interesting, like all these side things. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense for the Green Lanterns to come down to Bruce's lake house, because he's the only hero that's been publicly operating for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's going to be I mean, the end of Justice League kind of gave us that. Spoilers for those of you who haven't watched it, but it's like, we're all heroes. We can all be heroes now. Hashtag DC original, like, tagline back in the early days of the New 52. You can be a hero too. But it's like, the only hero who's been operating for 20 years is visited by the two space gods, essentially.
I did find that interesting that they put an actual time frame on how long Batman was operating.
He's old.
Yeah, it's old man Bat. He's been operating for 20 years. Like, whoa.
It's old man Bat.
The fuck?
Which is why I think a lot of people are speculating if they do this flashpoint, they... Yeah, they do.
They'll make him younger.
No, not even that. They remove Ben Affleck, and then they whoever plays Nightwing becomes Batman.
Yeah. At the end of the Nightwing movie, Bruce is there. It's like, I believe this is yours. And it's the Bat... suit, but with a blue crest on it, just like in Tynan's future issue that he did with Eddie Barrows. I never knew I wanted a blue Batman suit with Dick Grayson until that moment.
What I appreciate about the DC movies, if anything, is they're at least trying to do new storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they have similar characters in all of them, it's like at least they're trying something new. Even though it's not working necessarily, at least they're doing something different other than making one-for-one remakes of their comics.
But now the question is, where do you go after Darkseid?
It's true. We're kind of... Brainiac?
Yeah. Brainiac fused with Darkseid, fused with Lex Luthor.
Brainiac, not Mogo.
The Living Planet.
Who am I thinking of? He's like the Conqueror...
Kang? No, that's
not
Marvel.
He's like the Conqueror Kang. He wears a purple suit.
The purple and yellow guy.
Yeah.
War World.
What the fuck is his name?
Fuck. I had to look this one up.
I can't remember.
He just appeared in Trinity.
Yeah. Fuck. Who was it?
I want to say Mogar. That's not right.
That's not Mogar.
Michael Jones.
DC Comics. Starts with an M.
I'm pretty sure it's an M.
You're so right. Created by Lemmian and Jim Starlin.
Someone is yelling at us right now.
I know it. Inhabitants. Vorworld. Shit, someone is yelling at us right now.
It's this.
Mongol.
That's it.
He was in the Justice League Flash game on Cartoon Network. Where you could play as Hot Girl and smack away enemy rockets. Yeah, I played it.
Anyway.
Alright, I think that's everything.
Yeah, there was not a lot of news this week.
Yeah. The discussion topics are always fun though.
Yes.
Doomsday.
The Doomsday.
I'm wondering. I kind of want to bring in Explain to a Caveman and just pick a random comic book story.
Explain Hyperadapter. Fuck you, Steve. He was from the Caveman times. I don't have to explain shit.
So explains itself.
Cross Hyperadapter off the list.
So it's a hard no.
And apparently, right? Odin and Mjolnir, Ghost Rider, the Sorcerer Supreme, the Phoenix Force.
Cavemen would have seen them.
The Black Panther.
So the guy has a magical amulet. An amulet's a necklace that gives them access to the spirits of all of their ancestors and their abilities.
So my coworker did bring up something interesting. Is like the majority of the legacy story that they were setting up, that was all Bendis.
No, it wasn't.
The big chunk of the setup story was Bendis. It was Bendis's brainchild.
I thought that was all Jason Aaron, because he teased it in his Thor run, too, during the God Butcher arc.
It was like half and half.
Because Jason Aaron's the only credited writer.
He might not have written it, but I think it was his original idea that he came up with, and they just ran with it.
Like all great ideas, handed off to someone else. Thus, Spider-Gwen was born. You know, Dan Slott was doing Spider-Verse.
On a tangent.
Jason... Crap, which Jason is it?
Jason Todd.
Robbie Rodriguez.
Jason Latour.
And Jason Latour wanted to do Spider-Ben. Dan Slott was like, no, Spider-Ben's really important to my story. And then they're like, fine, we'll do Spider-Gwen, and came up with the costume and everything. Editorial really liked it, and Dan Slott's like, no, that's not how I imagined Spider-Gwen in my head. She's supposed to have a half mask, and she's supposed to be wearing clothing similar to the night Gwen Stacy died. And they're like, it's okay, Dan. let's just roll with it. Number two became an instant bestseller, went to fourth printing. Spider-Gwen is still around today.
So they pretty much said, we'll do our own Spider-N.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spider-Mary Jane died during the lead into Spider-Verse because no one cares. And no one wants to write Mary Jane right now except for Bendis.
It's like, yeah, how about I put her with Iron Man?
Sure. Secretary. Perfect. Hasn't done much other than stand there and talk to AIs.
Face a tiger.
And Riri.
And Riri. And Pepper.
And Tony's mom.
Never even wore the suit.
Anyway.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening as always. You're incredible rock stars. As always, you can hit us up on the Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, and leave us your thoughts. And we can read them as we record live because there's no editing. And there is plenty of editing, but we'll leave out all the good stuff. No, we won't. We'll leave out all the bad stuff we say. Like we'll leave saying, out the good bits. Fuck you. We can explain Hyperdapter to a caveman because he's one of the new gods. He was one of those people. We should do that as a segment.
There you go.
Instead of Zach explains, it's
I'll go ahead and
explain to a caveman.
I'll just find topics and you guys can trade off on who explains.
All right. Please don't make me explain anything Marvel. I don't know enough.
Explain.
But why is he named Cyclops if he has two eyes?
Because his visor is only one. God.
Why is he named Mr.
Fantastic? We don't need to do this now.
All right. Why is he named Mr. Fantastic if he sucks?
So thank you guys as always. Leave us a review. We'll read it live. We'll respond to you. You can even leave us comments on
z2podcast.com/comment.
And we can also talk to you.
Cough, cough, Tim and Jim. We told you both to do it, but did you know?
No.
And I specifically told Tim, you'll hear us talk about Doomsday Clock.
No Doomsday.
Anyways, thank you guys. You're all lovely. And good night, Internet.
See ya.